Okay, this is Linda, part two. I have no financial relationships to disclose. And my purpose today is to take you on a journey, to relate a little bit of the history of the Colorado journey around the creation of and the use of our medication administration training. I want to review some of the quality assurance measures that we have implemented in Colorado to assure that the training we are providing is a good training and is being appropriately used throughout the state. I want to let you know some of the lessons that we have learned in this journey, and then identify a few of the next steps for those of you in public health that might be looking at ways that you can incorporate or more closely work with childcare around this very, very important issue of the safe administration of medications to children in group care. I think my co-presenters have shared a lot of data around the number of children in childcare. Don't need to repeat that. We know there's a large number of children in childcare every day, and these children at times need to be provided with medication. And so that kind of creates an area where we need to really look at the work that's being done around that to ensure that that's being done safely. In the 1990s, there were several changes in our Colorado Nurse Practice Act. And one of those changes was really a focus at community delegation. How are people in the community being made safe when nursing interventions such as medication administration need to happen? We identified at that time unlicensed assistive personnel, UAPs, and those are the folks in our child care programs that are actually giving the medications. We decided at that time that there was really a need for a standardized curriculum. If as a nurse, I'm going to delegate the responsibility of administering a medication to someone that doesn't have a medical license, using a standardized curriculum provides the nurse with a little bit more safety around having to answer to her board for a misadventure. At that same time, there was an opportunity to start to successfully convene a team of collaborative partners. I think you heard Phyllis say that Healthy Child Care America began in 1995. And so it was almost a perfect storm when all of these things started to come together. And in Colorado, we did a very nice job of assembling some of those collaborative partners. And you can see some of them here. They include our Department of Regulatory Agencies, which license our nurses and our physicians, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, CORA, which at the time was our national network for, or our state network for child care resource and referral, our Department of Human Services, Healthy Child Care Colorado, the Maternal Child Health Bureau, HRSA, our Department of Education, and a very unique partner, the Children's Hospital here in, at the time, Denver. So the result of some of these collaborations with all of the partners that you've seen there was the creation of a medication administration curriculum, including videos. It was created, distributed, and then used by a variety of health professionals throughout the state, again, to train those unlicensed assistive personnel around the safe administration of medications in those different settings. So we had school nurses, as well as child care health consultants, utilizing this curriculum. I think another important event that happened in 2000, during the 2000s, was the Joint Commission started to look at the increase of medication errors that were happening in hospitals. Okay, so control settings, nurses providing those medications, and yet they also wanted to look at the emphasis on medication reconciliation. When a patient leaves the hospital, how do we ensure that the medications they are going to be taking at home, there's a transition there. But what about the community settings? How are we ensuring for the safety of the children who may have been ill, been required to take a medication, and now are transitioning to another setting for them, which is their child care program? So what's happening around the safe reconciliation in those kinds of environments? Again, we're looking at both school and child care at that time. So what we learned during the time from 2000 to continuing to learn at this point in time, there were a lot of licensing rules revisions around nurse consultation, around the safe administration of medications, providing healthcare procedures to children in group care settings. We became a better partner with our child care resource and referral offices throughout the state. We looked at some very, very significant curriculum revisions of our medication administration training. Initially, it was just a notebook of words, just page after page after page of words. And we divided the medication curriculum into an instructor manual, an instructor appendix that provided a little bit more guidance for the instructor. There was a student section that the student could take away with them and use as a resource. And then we created several forms in the curriculum, not standard, well, standardized, but not required, but at least it gave places a place to start with requiring authorizations and how did they log and document the administration of meds. We also received endorsement at that time of the curriculum by the Colorado Department of Education. Well, that equaled very quickly a very significant increase in the number of UAPs that were being trained and ultimately in Colorado delegated by nurses or physicians to administer medications. That in turn equaled a real need to develop some consistency and some quality control. And so that's what we began to look at next. One of the first things we did was created a database of both the medication administration trainers and the medication administration trainees. And it's a place to, it was a place for us to start. The creation of the database for medication trainers allows us to go in and approve each medication administration trainer. It's a pretty benign approval process. We basically go into the Department of Regulatory Agencies and ensure that that nurse or physician is licensed in Colorado actively and has no actions against their license around the safe administration of medications. In Colorado, physicians and nurses are the only folks that have delegatory authority. And so in Colorado, those are our only two groups that provide the medication administration training to unlicensed assistive personnel. When the trainers are approved, they're given access to the curriculum. Okay? Currently, we have a database of over 1,200 physicians and nurses that have signed up to become trainers or to be trainers of the medication administration curriculum. The other side of that database is the trainee side. And right now we have over 14,000 child care providers that are current, which means they're in a 3-year window of having taken the training. But as you can see, we have a much higher number that have in the past completed the training. Maybe their training has expired, they may no longer be doing child care. But we've reached a very large number of child care providers with this standardized curriculum over the years. So another way to look, at least to provide a modicum of quality control, was to create a train-the-trainer curriculum. We heard over and over again from nurses who accessed the training by becoming approved trainers, okay, now that I've got the training, what do I do with it? And they would look at the manual and see it's over 100 pages long, and look at all of the information in that manual. There are a lot of requirements around providing opportunities for return demonstrations. How do I do that in a large group of 12 to 15 people? And so out of that request for trying again to provide a more standardized curriculum so that nurses felt like, and the primary questions came from nurses, so they felt like they were doing the right thing, we created a partnership, a more formalized partnership between Healthy Child Care Colorado and the Children's Hospital. And again, most of the time, these were school nurses that wanted to make sure that they were doing this training correctly. And so we provided, to date, we've trained over 113 of the nurses on the curriculum, again, primarily school nurses. Of the 80% that have completed the evaluation of that training, over 95% agreed that they really got a lot from the training. They had a chance to practice actually performing, doing some of the return demonstrations in a very large group. Another way we looked at trying to improve the quality and to control the quality of our medication administration curriculum was to provide updates. So we received input from both school nurses and childcare health consultants. I wish you had this. What about this? Don't you need to address this? And so all of those things were kind of accumulated and taken into consideration. And that feedback and review, again, by our childcare community stakeholders and partners became a very integral part of the revision process. We tried to do a lot of enhancements on the curriculum as well. Because again, it's something that you can see by the number of participants that have taken the training is very well used within the state of Colorado. Certainly, we know there are updates that happen around the administration of medications for everyone. And so it was important to us to include some of these updates in the revised training. We know the American Academy of Pediatrics and the FDA came out with their proposal to start to limit the administration of cough and cold preparations for children under four. Well, this greatly impacts childcare. A lot of the meds childcare programs we're getting were some of these products. And so to have this in the manual that it was really not recommended to give them and they needed to be talking with their nurse consultant if those medications came to the program gave the providers a way to really do some education with parents and families. We also know that there were changes to how we dispose of medications. We are no longer suggested, as I imagine you are as well, to be flushing meds down the drain or down the toilet. And so we wanted to provide medication disposal updates in our training manual so that when programs were getting rid of meds, they were doing it in a safe way. And finally, in Colorado, our Department of Education created some self-carry laws around the carrying of emergency medications for severe allergy and asthma. And so how do we incorporate that law and those rules into the medication training so nurses providing the training can address those issues as well? Another thing that came up was making sure that we addressed Pedialyte or the electrolyte replacement solution for children. Do we consider that a medication in Colorado or not? And making sure that was very clear in the training. One of the things that every training, our medication training has always talked about is that homeopathic medications are not really covered in this medication training. As a nurse, for me to delegate, I need to have knowledge and experience about the medications that I delegate. I don't know enough about homeopathic meds to provide to have that knowledge and training. Therefore, I will not delegate them, which means the centers I consult with cannot provide them. Well, the teething tablets became a huge bone of contention throughout the years for parents and for childcare providers. The parents would bring in, I don't want to name the product, the teething tablets, and want the providers to give them. It's considered an over-the-counter, it's considered a homeopathic. I would not approve that for the centers I work with. The nurses throughout the state were being very reluctant to do that. And just a couple of weeks ago, some of you may have seen in the paper, the FDA has recommended that those no longer be used because of the belladonna that they contain in them and the unregulated amount of belladonna that is in those teething tablets. So it's, you know, finally, there's at least a little bit of good news about that, that we maybe won't have to be fighting that battle any longer. Some of the other things that we looked at when we did our updates and revisions were the things that happened within the Nurse Practice Act. Our family child care providers were actually excluded from needing delegation during the early 2000s, so we wanted to make sure that was reflected in our curriculum. We created separate modules for severe allergy training and for the medications around severe allergy and for medications around asthma. So those can actually be used as standalone trainings. So programs that only work with children that have some of those medications can have a much shorter version of the training and that will work for being able to be really focused on the medications they actually provide. We had some requests to have a little bit more guidance on the scenarios that we provide in the training. So we annotated them to give the nurse nurses the answers to the scenarios, or at least some possible answers to the scenarios, and we tried to reflect some form revisions. We'd been working very closely with the Colorado Asthma Coalition, so trying to create more respiratory medication action plans that were there. Another really nice thing that happened, though somewhat unexpected, but goes back to the fact that we had developed such good collaborative partnerships with folks, was the opportunity to create an updated DVD. I think I mentioned earlier that even in the early 90s, we had medication videos. We had a separate one for schools, and we had another one for childcare. And as you might imagine, the hairdos and the glasses styles and the clothing became very, very dated. And as people watch the videos, remember, our people take the course every 3 years. It was like, okay, it's the same video yet again. In 2008, we had, 2009, the health department came and said, we have some additional funding. Would you be interested in updating the medication DVD? And so again, because of our partnerships, we jumped on that and were able to create an updated version of the DVD. It's now the same for school and childcare. We do and try to include infants and family childcare homes in the video as well, so they can see themselves in this video. And that has proven to be a very nice adjunct to the curriculum revision that was done in 2008. And I did bring along a few copies of the DVD for those of you that might be interested in taking those. So, certainly throughout the years, our program has gained some national recognition as other states are looking at standardizing medication curriculums. I've received calls from those states, you know, will you share with us your curriculum? It was created with MCHB dollars, so of course we will and do. Any of you that have a desire, it was just a little bit cumbersome to try to bring the manuals, and I ran out of time to get CDs copied, but my contact information is available, and I'm most willing to share our curriculum with any states at all that would desire it. In 2008, as we were undergoing our curriculum revisions, I was asked by the American Academy of Pediatrics if they could include some of their information in managing chronic health needs in childcare and schools, and also has a medication chapter, if they could use some of the materials from our curriculum as well. And of course, that permission was granted. So what have been the lessons learned? We certainly have learned in Colorado the importance of having community stakeholders and partners. Those collaborations have served us well over the years. We have many, many people to review the material that we provide. We have many people in support of that information. Healthy Child Care Colorado has been invited to participate in the rules and regulations revision, so I'm always able to try to bump up that step just a little bit to ensure that our rules and regs are a little bit more in line with caring for our children. And certainly that has helped guide a lot of the work that we have done as well. Certainly we know that funding resources, you know, ebbs and flows, but again, you have to be nimble, you have to be flexible, you have to be ready to take advantage of those kinds of opportunities when they occur. The fact that we had just revised the written curriculum made it perfect for us to be able to look at providing a new DVD. Some of it's timing and some of it's just dumb luck, but it really worked out well. I think another important lesson that we've learned is that just because you standardize curriculum, it doesn't mean you have quality control. So what other things do you need to put in place to ensure that the curriculum is being delivered in the way that you want it to be when, again, we're a very large state, and so we have a lot of people out there doing things on their own, and trying to be reflective of that and try to be in tune with that when people ask us for additional help. Again, those partners are very important when we look at trying to assist in distribution. Our resource and referral partners, we could not do this work without them, for sure. Again, more lessons learned. We know there's a true value between the alliances, or with the alliances that we have between our school nurses and our child care health consultants. So many more schools now have licensed preschool programs, and so the school nurses that are used to working with kids in K through 12 are now dealing with a brand new population. And how do we ensure that we're having the rules and regs met in those preschool programs, and at the same time safely taking care of the children in those programs? We also know that quality control is very important, and ownership of the DVDs and the copyrights of the different materials are important. Our early videos were distributed by a company. The company went out of business. No more videos. And so we've learned that we go ahead and we hold now the copy to our DVD video. It's sitting at the State Health Department. We have permission. Because they helped us create it, we can make unlimited copies of that DVD. We have the master to do that. And so that was a very, very important lesson learned. So next steps, if you're looking at thinking about, or again, what is the need in your own community? For this, those of you in public health, what is your role and what can it be as you try to assist the work being done? Do you have a role? Do you know what's going on? I'd like to ask you to consider some of these questions. How is child care and public health connected within your individual communities? Is it? Hopefully it is. Healthy Child Care America has been working for a long time to ensure that, and so hopefully it's happening. Who are the stakeholders that you might want to engage, that you might want to talk with, that you might want to kind of bring in under your wing to continue the work? What are some of the resources that are already in place? What could be some of the barriers that you might meet? Make things work in your favor. Our Nurse Practice Act helped us tremendously. It helped us get child care health consultation into our licensing rules and regs, because of the need for nurse delegation in those settings. So it was really, really nice to have that close partnership to recognize that and to take full advantage of it. What's your action plan going to be? And what are you going to go back and do? How can public health be more involved? This is why we do it. And my contact information, please feel free to contact me. Let me know if there's any way at all that I can help you. Thank you so much.
Well, I think we've had four very interesting and excellent presentations this morning. And we do have time for questions and answers. So I'll entertain any questions you might have now. Questions for the panel? Yes.
On your medication administration program, have you used that and have given out the information with the Academy of Pediatrics with their new medication administration information?
The question was, has the American Academy of Pediatrics had this information to incorporate into theirs? And yes, they did. I think it was part of the ask when they asked in 2009, because everything was kind of happening at the same time. And so, yes, and I've, you know, again, given permission, received some acknowledgement for that particular, for the information that we shared. So, yes.
Other questions and or comments? Okay, it's right here.
We did the 6 month analysis and found that four supports were actually very helpful in getting our mothers to breastfeed greater than 6 months. And so, you know, to know that that four supports and versus only one support for those mothers who made it to 12 months, you know, we can't really say which ones of four. You know, I really say that it's up to as much as the mother can breastfeed up to that year for that recommendation.
Like based on the literature, does the literature clearly show